AM 96.5 FM, KVEC. No guests this hour, where I'm going to solicit calls from you, our listeners, and we're going to talk about something we talked a little bit about last night. We had Walt Heyer on, and Walt is a man who lived as a woman for 8 years. He was transgendered, and he's helping people kind of recover from that. And I just want to start out this conversation with you by saying a couple things. I really do feel for people suffering from gender dysphoria, for people who are transgendered. I think, you know, as Walt said last night, they've got some serious issues going on. The idea that you're not comfortable in your own body because you think you should be the other gender, I understand how devastating it can be. But we've got a society here who is kind, instead of trying to treat this as a problem, is instead celebrating it. And it's having some repercussions. Walt talked about some of those last night. I'd encourage you to go to 920kvec.com if you didn't hear it. It's on the Dave Congleton page there. You can listen to it streamed at your convenience. The other impact that this is happening, that this is having, really, is on women's athletics. And in the past 30-plus years, Title IX has really helped women, do more become more involved in sports. It's opened up opportunities for millions of women in the United States. We have, a Women's World Cup now. We have professional women's basketball teams now. And frankly, transgendered men we're getting to the point where they're ruining it for women. And women are not going to have the opportunities they have had in the past. The International Olympic Committee, this past week, changed some of its rules, proposed guidelines for the next Olympics, and it would allow transgender athletes to compete without having gender reassignment surgery. So they've still got all their equipment. They only need 1 year of hormone replacement therapy. So they can take female hormones, try and tamp down some of that testosterone that they've had generating more muscles, more strength, more endurance since they hit puberty, and 1 year of it kind of being tamped down. And, that's the other thing about this that apparently is controversial nowadays. Men and women are different. Okay, news flash.
Yeah, call the evening news on that one.
Call the evening news on that one. Because you've got people in the academy. You've got gender studies departments. No, men and women are the same. We are exactly the same. There's nothing a man can do that a woman can't do.
It's a social construct.
Yeah. Now, men cannot have babies, okay? And if you are a transgendered man and you have given birth, no, you are a woman, okay? It's frustrating me. I'm I haven't always agreed with Title IX, frankly. Title IX, again, was basically a federal law which said you've got to have the same opportunities in athletics and education for women that you have with men. And one way that was implemented was, and frankly, the easiest way if you were a college not to get sued, was to have the exact same number of male athletes as you have female athletes. Now, men are more interested in sports than women, generally. It's not always the case, but generally you've got more men who take part in sports than you do women. Men are more interested in sports. And so for a long time, what that did at the college level is, in order to meet that equity rule, you had, instead of these colleges creating more opportunities for women, they would do some of that, but at the same time, they'd reduce opportunities for men. That's why you don't have so many men's wrestling programs at the collegiate level anymore. Cal Poly has one, but you know they're not in the Big West in wrestling. They're in the Pac-12 in wrestling. Why? Because the Pac-12 doesn't have enough wrestling programs to have a conference. So they got rid of men's wrestling. They got rid of men's gymnastics. I grew up down in San Diego. My father is an alumni of San Diego State University. San Diego State has won one NCAA Division I championship. You want to know what that's in, Craig?
Chess?
No.
What?
Men's volleyball.
Makes sense.
Back in the late 70s, San Diego, men's volleyball. San Diego State no longer has a men's volleyball program and hasn't for decades. So the one thing they were best, where are you going to find a men's volleyball program? There aren't that many of them around. And those sports have kind of suffered because, frankly, football is the big moneymaker. And so if you've got 85 athletes getting scholarships to football, that's less for the other sports. And so that's where I've disagreed with Title IX a little bit. I wish there was different ways that you could meet it and not have to kind of tank the men's programs. But, men have more opportunities now if they claim they're women.
If you're somebody who's an Olympic, a close athlete, let's say you're on the cusp, you can't quite make the men's team, and then you find out you just have to take hormones for 1 year.
Right.
And then you can compete as a woman and become possibly an Olympic gold medalist. And you win your award, transition back, hey, I changed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You are now an Olympic gold medalist. And, hypothetically, that's possible.
Hypothetically, that is possible. And it's, I'm not sure what, if any, social, rebuke that you would receive for that.
But would it be worth
Is it worth getting a gold medal?
A gold medal. Yeah.
Is it worth, doing record setting things? Trying to look at some stuff online that I should have been looking up earlier. In addition to, opportunities, Connecticut, trans women, which are boys, are allowed to, by law, non-discrimination law, you have to treat them as the gender they identify with, not as the one that they actually are. And so this last week, the top two runners in the 55-yard dash in the Connecticut State Championships were both boys. In the women's 55-yard dash were both boys. Or trans women.
But they are both male,
genetically male, XY chromosomes. And so, and one of them set the new girls' record for the state.
Wow.
So now the boys' record's held by a boy and the girls' record's held by a boy. And you've got girl, and they have regional championships after that. The top six runners go to those regional, New England regional championships. And you've got, for track, you don't have track coaches who go to high schools usually. They don't go to high school dual meets. They go to these big statewide ones for giving out scholarships to college.
And you got college scouts.
You got college scouts, and they aren't seeing
who are going to be handing out possible.
And what happens in competitive sports then? I mean, if you are a college coach and you want to build a program and you want to, and you've got...
Based on winning.
Not and on you equality. And you get cash bonuses based on how much you win. Do you recruit a trans girl to help your team out?
So in this race competition, how many trans people were in it? Two?
Two.
How many, what places did they come in?
First and second.
First and second. And then, so...
And they wouldn't have made the meet as boys.
As boys. And now you're looking at the final two. So now you're looking at number 7 and 8. They should have been seen They should have won. They should have placed
right
in the top six.
Should have gone on to the next competition.
Gone on to the next competition and been seen and possibly offered scholarships to college under Title IX, which now they will not be able to do because you have two genetically male people who came in and took their place. Yeah. And so if they weren't – now, there's a classic story, like when Michael Jordan came in to play baseball for the White Sox organization. People were mad. He was taking the place of somebody who had worked hard to be there, that maybe was on the cusp of a career and just barely made it in, and now that person's not having their job. So it goes both ways. When people take something that is not necessarily earned, and it affects other people down the line.
It does affect other people.
And it affects these girls, these real girls down the line, who are now, they are not eligible. They're not going to be eligible for college scholarships because of these two people.
And you know, I'm not sure what the solutions are. We're going to come back. I'd like to hear from you because, you know, I spent time this week emailing groups, the Women's Sports Foundation. I'm looking online for anybody who'd come on and talk about this. People don't want to talk about this. Women don't want to talk about this. Martina Navratilova talked about this, and she got kicked off, and she's a lesbian woman, and she got kicked off one of these women's sports foundations for speaking out about this. I'd like to hear from you. 805-543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show with Matt Hoy. You're listening to the David Congleton Show on News Talk 920 KVEC, 96.5 FM. This is Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave. We are talking about transgendered, mainly men, participating in women's sports. The other way around, I don't think it's a problem. We're talking about the fact that men and women are different. And I kind of want to illustrate some of that. Rich Lowry of National Review had a article out today with some numbers. 1988, U.S. Olympic trials, Florence Griffith Joyner established the women's record of 10.49 seconds in the 100 meters dash. No one's ever come close to touching it since. In fact, there are suspicions she was using a performance-enhancing drug. So, FloJo, 10.49 seconds, 100-meter dash. In 2018, there were 15 men in the United States whose best time in the 100-meter was 10.49. That made them, overall, the 217th fastest men in the U.S., is the top woman. Worldwide, there were 35 men whose time was that, all tied for 768th fastest. Men and women are different. We've got a caller. Greg, who we got?
We got Katie. You're on.
Katie.
Hi. I'm calling because I benefited from Title IX way back when in my high school, but just a few years after it came out. And I was from a small town, and the football team and the boys' football team, the boys' basketball team, the boys' track and field, the boys' baseball, they had all the money, and we wanted to play. There were a group of us that wanted to play, and some of the cities were now getting girls' teams. And we had to go in, and first of all, we said, we want to play, we want to have a team, and we were told there was flat-out no money for us. And so we made our own numbers and sewed them onto our uniform. We drove ourselves. We had parents drive us to the games. We had no money even for athletic tape. And so we played that first year, and they thought we would go away, but we came back at the athletic director. And one of the girls' fathers was a lawyer. And that is how we got budget. And this was at a time when the boys' football team were giving away their practice jerseys to their girlfriends, you know, to the total tune of 20, 30 bucks a pop. And we couldn't even get, you know, T-shirts to play basketball in,
right,
or a bus ride. And so, you know, there was a place and time for that, for sure. And I'm very sad about this. Women, there are differences between men and women. It's just like we don't even want to face the fact of that. I'm incensed because we can't compete unless the hormone treatment's been going on for a very long time, and probably pre-puberty. Because once puberty hits, they have an advantage with the testosterone. And there's no dispute on that.
Yeah, that's why professional athletes take testosterone and they get popped and they get in trouble for it because it gives you an advantage.
It's an enhancement then. You know, they have an advantage, and that's not fair. It's not how it was designed. And this whole, you know, I don't know what gender I am movement is, it's just so crazy to me that you're going to put down all these women that want to perform and have worked so hard since they were 5 years old, and now they have to compete against boys all over again. It's like, oh, we're revisiting back to where it was again, you know, where if a girl wanted to play, she had to join the boys team and then be made fun of because she couldn't really compete on a boys team.
And
except for the occasional 1%,
right,
you know, that might, and only in certain positions. And so, you know, sports was my life, and it gave me so much. It developed me as a person, and I would not be the person I am today if I didn't have that opportunity. And I feel sad because there are going to be many girls that are going to be denied an opportunity because they won't. Well, who wants to compete against that?
Not many will, and not many can, and that's the problem. Thank you very much for your call. You know, I just mentioned the men. Katie Ledecky, if you watched the last Olympics, she was that woman swimmer who was winning by a pool length. I mean, it was incredible. She's winning, you know, beating everybody else by 30 seconds. She wouldn't have qualified if she were a man. You know, you've got. We've got the case of Fallon Fox. Fallon Fox is a transgender woman, which means he's a man. And he's an MMA fighter. And he fights women. And he fought one woman. And he was 5-1. I don't know how he lost the one. Okay. But he's 5-1. And he, in a fight against Tamika Brents, hit her so hard, he fractured her skull. She went to the hospital. They had to put pins in her skull. She had a concussion. She said this, and you know, she was a professional MMA fighter. She said, "I fought a lot of women and never felt the strength I felt in that fight as I did that night. I can't answer whether it's because she was born a man or not because I'm not a doctor. I can only say I've never felt so overpowered ever in my life, and I am abnormally strong. I am an abnormally strong female in my own right. I still disagree with Fox fighting. Any other job or career, I say have a go at it. But when it comes to a combat sport, I think it's just not fair." We're talking about transgender sports. Dave Congleton's show. We'll be right back after this. Listening to the Dave Congleton Show on News Talk 920 KVEC 96.5 FM. Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave as he recuperates from heart surgery. Hope to have him back soon. We're talking today about transgendered athletes, specifically boys playing in women's sports and men playing in women's sports. Talked about Fallon Fox basically crushing a woman. What used to be a crime, now they get paid for because, you know, you hit a woman so hard you fracture or skull, that's usually jail time. But, you know, we got a lot of people invested in pretending that gender is fluid. It's just a state of mind, and it's not. I'd like to hear from you. You can give us a call, 805-543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. We've got some stories here to kind of illustrate this fact. Back at the Australian Open, back when the Williams sisters were young in 1998, 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago, Australian Open, Williams sisters, Venus and Serena, went into the scorer's tent there and said, you know, we can beat a man ranked 200th in the world or worse. And in there was a guy named Karsten Brosch. He was ranked 203rd in the world. He said, I'll do it. Let's play a match. So they arranged it. He got out there, first one set match against Serena, and he won 6-1. Started out 5-0. About the time he's finishing that up, Venus came out and said, and she had just lost in the quarterfinals to Lindsay Davenport, and she came out and said, you know, it's my turn, I can beat you. She lost 6-2. And Karsten Brosch says, you know, basically, both sisters are great tennis players, and they hit the ball extremely well. However, if you've been playing on the men's tour, there are certain shots you can play that are going to put them in difficulty. Try and put a lot of spin on the ball. I was hitting the ball with a degree of spin they don't face week in, week out. Another key is to chase down every shot. In our match, they were putting shots in the corners that on the women's tour would be winners, but I was able to return them. Why? He's bigger. He's stronger. He's faster.
And this is number, this is a after 200. It's not like he's number one.
He was number 203 in the world. And the thing was, that you know, the Williams sisters, you got to give them this. They're cocky. Okay?
Yeah.
They went back after that and said, okay, someone who's 350th in the world or worse. And Brosch told him, he said, well, I lost in the first round both singles and doubles. By the time they come out with a new set of ATP points, I'm going to be worse than 350th next week. So, you know, not one for them. We got a caller. Talk to us.
All right. First up, we got Gordon. You're on.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing well.
This is a perfect, appropriate topic. I don't care if someone identifies as an avocado. They could identify as anything they wish. But Title IX is trumps what you wish to be. Title IX gave women equal opportunity for in colleges and in sports. I was listening to you earlier. I remember my son was on the University of Michigan rowing team, but it wasn't the varsity team. It wasn't supported. The women's was, but that, as you said, once you fill up the football and basketball team, that's most of the scholarships on the men's side.
Right.
But I fail to understand why someone identifying as, in this case, female, trumps is more important than the fact that females and males are genetically different. Males are stronger, males are bigger. Particularly in sports, it's self-evident. And I fail to understand why we allow men, simply because they wish to identify as a woman, that they are able to. Go ahead and identify. Go ahead and call yourself whichever you wish. Act in any manner that you wish. But that doesn't mean, in my view, that you get to act as a woman in a place where women historically and rightfully have their sole place.
I'm with you, the question is, what's the solution to this? And the solution to this is frankly, is if you want to have a transgendered category, I'm fine with that. Let men who believe they're women play, you know, compete against other men who think they're women. That at least
sure.
is fair.
Why not?
But you know, you've got legislators who have passed laws which basically say, you know, who buy into this, you know, gender studies stuff that you get at a lot of colleges, which who say, you know, who have for years have been denying basic biology. You know, which political party is anti-science at this point? You know,
I heartily agree with you. It is unfortunate, and it is, yes, it is a political problem in politicians who bend the knee to those who espouse this fantasy.
Right. Thanks for your call,
fantasies.
Thanks for your call, Gordon. Appreciate it. Give you another example here before we go to our next caller. Back before the back before a competition, I believe in 2016, or maybe it was 2015, Women's World Cup, the Australian women's national team was practicing. They need to compete against, you know, some of the best women in the world, including the U.S. women. And so they found that the best competition that they could get that would kind of prepare them for facing the best women in the world was the under 15 years old Newcastle Jets boys soccer team. So they had a friendly practice with the Newcastle Jets under 15 boys soccer team, and they lost 7-0 to 14 and 13 year old boys. Boys who only had a couple years of testosterone, and these are the best women in Australia. It's not that uncommon. If I'm not sure how many of you remember this back in 1999, and you can find this if you Google it for, you know, Sports Illustrated Guys and Vols, V-O-L-S. Pat Summitt, legendary women's basketball coach at the University of Tennessee. It's a story about how, in order to prepare her players, her female players, to play the best basketball they could, she recruited men to play against them. Not men that could make the basketball team, not men that even necessarily made the basketball team in high school, but just guys because they're stronger and they're faster. And while she's turning out national championship winning women's teams, her women are practicing against men to reach that level of accomplishment. We got a call. Greg, what do we got?
Yeah, we got, let's see, next up is, I think it's Fred.
Fred. You're on.
He never gets this right. It's Brett. Anyways, I've been listening for the last half hour, so I'm still trying to get to what your point is. So maybe you can give me what the point is and what the problem you think is. I haven't figured it out yet.
Okay, so here's what I here's the point and the problem. The problem is that if you continue to have men who say they are women taking spots in women's sports, you are going to crowd out women. Okay.
So I guess my stop there. So how much of this is happening?
Well, you've got an MMA fighter who went and crushed a woman's skull. You've got two Connecticut high school runners who are boys taking first and second place in the 55-yard dash, including setting the state record for girls and preventing, at, you know, if the boys took the top two spots and only the top six go to the regionals, then there are two girls in spots 7 and 8 who should have been 5 and 6 if they were only competing against girls, who are losing scholarship opportunities.
So these are three examples in the hall of the United States.
I can give you more. I've got this whole hour. I've got more. I've got women winning. I've got men who are women taking first place in cycling competitions. It's happening more and more. At what point do we need to be worried? Answer me that.
I don't know, but I read that article regarding the two transgender boys. I don't know how much hormones they were running, but that's about the only thing I've really read in quite a while.
Well, here in California, and again, you know, it depends on, I got a feeling this is going to grow over time. It's been growing, and I don't know at what point it's going to reach a critical mass where women start really pushing back and not being afraid to push back. But in the state of California, if you are a male and you wish to compete against females in any sport, you don't have to have had surgery. You don't have to even have to be taking hormones. You just have to say, I'm a girl. And now you can run track against the girls. You can play softball instead of baseball. You can play soccer with the girls instead of the boys. And I just illustrated a point where, 13 and 14-year-old boys are able to beat a women's national team. The best women athletes in the country of Australia, a bunch of 13 and 14-year-old boys whooped their butts. Did they get their butts whooped at the World Cup? No, they're Australia. I believe they were ranked fifth in the world among women's teams. Yet they're losing to 13 and 14-year-old boys because boys are different.
Okay.
So that's my concern.
But I guess the issue for me is that I don't see that rising to some substantial problem currently.
Well,
making what if these two? Out of, I don't even know if it's a molehill.
Well, that's radio. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. But what if these two decide to go out for the Olympics and win Olympic gold, taking the spot of two women that should be there? It's not just about what they're doing and what they're achieving, but it's what they're taking away from actual women who are trying to achieve something, trying to go to college on a scholarship, and now two women who were in that race now will not qualify for a scholarship because of these two.
Okay, hold on. You don't think that these collegiate recruiters don't know who either the two transgender girls are?
Oh, they do.
Transgender boys, or who those other girls are who are in that race?
They do.
They know, those college recruiters know who everybody is who's rising to that level. Doesn't make that much difference because they're going to look and say, well, hey, so and so, yeah, well, they finished fourth, but realistically, there were two transgender boys in that race. And they're not going to look at that. I mean, it's just, and I'm going to recruit them. I'm going to recruit those girls because I know how fast they realistically are. They're running whatever doesn't make that much difference.
We've got to take a break, but you'd be surprised how many college coaches have clauses in their contracts where they get more money if they win. So if they get more money if they win, are they going to want the sixth place finisher, or are they going to want the first place finisher? Whether or not they're really a boy or a girl, that's more money in their pocket. Something to think about it. We will be right back. This is the Dave Congleton Show on KVEC News Talk 920 AM, 96.5 FM. Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave.
Preaching at me, acting like he wrote the golden rule, shaking his fist and speeching at me.
You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show on KVEC News Talk 920 AM 96.5 FM. This is Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave. So when the gender studies department gets a hold of the audio, don't blame Dave, blame Matt Hoy. Craig, we got some callers.
Yeah, let's go. Sorry, I lost my little note here. Who are we talking to?
Mike.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Mike, talk to us.
Hey, Matt. I'm agreeing with something like you said, but I don't think there should even be a problem. You know, you have the gender people, those people compete against their same group. And you have the girls compete against with girls and boys with boys. And there's not a problem. I mean, it's really, really simple, isn't it?
Well, it makes sense to you and me, but as far
as...
But as far as they're concerned, they identify as female. And if you that they're not female...
They're a made female, so they should wrestle with made females and stuff.
But no, because, again, that you're denying that they are essentially female. I mean,
not, and they know they're not.
But we got to pretend.
Mike, you are using logic,
yeah.
And that's where you're wrong. You're using logic in a world... And against a people who are more into feelings versus fact. Feelings is what moves the world, not facts.
What I'm saying is I have nothing against those people. They want to be
either.
That way. It's their life and their time on this planet. But we shouldn't, you know, it's like having a horse race against a pig and pigs against dogs. And you go, okay, well, mine won. Well, hello.
No,
you know what I'm saying? I mean,
I'm
let's keep
you.
It fair.
I'm with you. You know, for those of you who haven't seen it, and that may be some of the younger people here in our radio listening audience, I'd encourage you to watch Monty Python's The Life of Brian, because there's a scene in there where one of the Monty Python characters, I believe it's Eric Idle, wants to be called Loretta and wants to be mm-hmm. a woman. And he insists that he has the right to have a baby, even though he is a man and doesn't have a womb. And that's the point where we've reached is, yes, we all agree that he has the right to have a baby, even though he can't actually have a baby. We're playing in this wonderland that's been created by gender studies departments, and you know, because it's the, you know, it's the ivory tower in the academy, it gets pushed to politicians, and politicians, you know, want fairness and all of this, and
but that is fair.
They buy into, well, it's not to
that
them
they
because
stay in
they're
their own
a woman.
Cage. I mean, you can't mix them up like that. I mean, you can't have a girl going wrestling this guy just because he says he's a girl, but he's a guy. I mean, hello.
You
That's
and
not
I
fair.
Agree, but frankly, we don't have as much say as we need to have. In California, at the high school level, possibly college level, all you have to do is say that you're a girl and you can compete against girls. Thanks for the call. Who do we got next, Craig?
Next up, we got Sean. You're on.
Hey, guys. I'll be quick here. The caller who called two ago, he's the type of person that is specifically causing this problem. He's going through life with blinders on, not seeing that this is a massive issue. I don't know how many of you actually, if you guys actually follow MMA, but it'd be like if Brock Lesnar, who's 270 pounds walking weight, would say, I'm a girl, and he's going to go start beating up on girls, you know, in MMA. It's not fair. It's not right. And people like him are specifically the problem because they're going through life with blinders on.
Yeah, I mean, I realize to a certain extent we're kind of at the bleeding edge on this because we haven't reached the point where, okay, it's two boys who identify as girls in Connecticut. It hasn't happened yet in California. It will. At the point where I mean, you almost think we've got to get to the point where it's some politician's daughter who's affected by this in some way. It's his daughter who doesn't get a scholarship or who loses a title or something that she's worked very hard for because she's competing against someone who just naturally generates more testosterone, is bigger, is faster, is stronger. But, you know, it's the little people right now who are being affected by this. So who cares?
We really need to worry about society because, you know, if this hits a critical mass, this is going to get completely out of hand. And I'm honestly surprised that the more feminist of females in our area aren't absolutely outraged by this. And they're silent. They're dead silent on this. And I just don't understand why. They don't want men to beat up on them, yet they're loudly allowing men, real men, born men, to come in and beat up on them. It blows my mind.
You know, and that's... I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. Like I said before, at the top of the hour, I went out and I was trying to get people women specifically, to come on and talk about this. And I can't find anybody who wants to touch this with a 10-foot pole.
I really hope they wise up, and I really hope they call, because I would really love a woman's take on this.
We did have one. If you want to go to 920kvec.com, the first caller we had was a woman who had benefited from Title IX and doesn't like this. But she's, you know, we're hearing mostly from men who are concerned about women and their daughters. I think that's a great thing. I just wish there were more of it and that we really had more say. Thank you very much for the call. You know, we can go over this time and time again. We got, you know, I'm just looking through cases of this sort of thing happening. And Gabrielle Ludwig, 50, born Robert, joined the women's basketball team at Mission College at Santa Clara in 2012. He's 6'6", weighs 220 pounds. A judge gave him a new birth certificate designating him as female, and even though he played as a male basketball player in the 80s for Nassau Community College, they went ahead and let him play as a woman at age 50.
I'm looking at another one, a weightlifter, you know, who does not look like a weightlifter. He looks kind of like me, winning a women's competition. It's all over the place. You can go to female athletes crushed by women who are once men. Google that.
You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show, KVEC News Talk 920, 96.5 FM.